Now I'd ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We are still in Joshua, as Joshua's been the book we've been looking at during this building project month. But we're going to be spending really most of our time in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn to verse 10. I will actually begin by reading from Joshua, but you'll want to be in Ephesians 6. Now, the past few weeks, we've thought about how just as Joshua and the people of Israel were given the land as a possession, this gift of the land was a gift to be used in service to God. All our possessions, including this land and any future building, are all to be used in service to Him. We also learned that service to Him is actually true freedom. We spoke about that last week, as God teaches us who we really are and guides us in how we were meant to function as human beings. This is true freedom as we serve the living God by His grace. This week we're focusing in on prayer and how that relates to this serving of God with our possessions, with our lives, from our hearts, by God's grace. We're looking at prayer today. So let me read actually from the beginning of Joshua, and then we'll read from Ephesians chapter 6. This is the word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. The Lord was saying to Joshua, the one who was to lead the people into the land, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go." And now Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Beginning in verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication. Let us pray. Well, Lord our God, we ask you to strengthen us this morning, to strengthen us to hear you, to strengthen us to trust you, to strengthen us to even obey you, to strengthen us to see the kingdom of God, to strengthen us to participate in your kingdom, that you might work through us and build your kingdom through us, even build this building through us. For your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yesterday I received from a friend a text message, and it wasn't really a happy one. They included a link to a website, and it was to a news website, and so I went there. And it was about a new club getting started in Chesapeake, Virginia, in an elementary school. No, it's not a chess club. Unfortunately, it's not a gaming club or a good news club even. It's a Satan club. In an elementary school in Chesapeake, Virginia, a parent, because a parent has to, has requested that there be a Satan club in that elementary school for the children to go to directly after school. And it's been allowed. When I went to the post, the picture that I saw, thankfully, I was happy to see this, had Christians from across the board outside on their knees in prayer for the children at this school. A Satan club for children. Now, what is Satanism? Okay? I have a book here I want to share with you. What are the sorts of things that are going to be taught to these children? Well, I have a book here, Handbook of Religion, A Christian Engagement with Traditions, Teachings, and Practices. And this book is fantastic because it will tell you about these different religions, but it also always has an adherent essay, meaning somebody who adheres to this religion giving you their perspective. So let's listen to some of the tenets that these children will be taught. Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. Satan represents all of the so-called sins, as they all lead to physical, mental, and emotional glorification. But maybe more important to my point today is that the children at this club will be taught that one of the great, general, important truths of life is radical individualism. One of the adherents to this religion said, "For good and bad, I am the judge of meaning and of value in the universe." Now, by the way, I find it very ironic that a parent has requested that their child go to a club like this. Could you imagine this kid coming back home? "Ma, I don't need to listen to you. I'm a radical individualist. I do what I want. I'm the judge of all value and good in the universe." I'm like, okay. But seriously, this is what is going to be taught to these children. There's a phrase, maybe you've heard it, that kind of characterizes this perspective. Do what thou wilt. Do what you want. That's the teaching of modern Satanism. Radical individualism means depend on yourself. Depend on yourself. Depend on your own wisdom. Depend on your own strength. Independence. Now, we can be very happy we sit in a church, right? A church that doesn't worship Satan. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the scary truth. You don't have to be a Satan club because that's your official title. Reality is, any place where that group of people adheres to the principle that we need to depend not on God, but on ourselves, my friends, this also is a Satan club. And churches can become Satan clubs too. As we build this building, how can we avoid depending on ourselves? How can we avoid this pull really of American culture to be rugged individualists who depend on ourselves, on our own strength, on our own wisdom. How can we depend on the Lord in this project that we might, in the next generation, call other children and adults and families not to depend on themselves, but on the Lord? And the answer is simple. Put a high value on prayer. Because prayer is nothing else than saying, I do not depend on myself, I depend on another, the one who made me, the one who loves me, the one who sent his son to die for me, the one who promises me every good thing in him. I am weak. I have no strength. I have no wisdom apart from him, but I depend on another. That is prayer. And so if this church will be a Jesus club, our hands need to be like this. And we need to serve God on our knees. So there's 2 points today to the sermon. Place a high value on prayer because it is how we depend on Christ's strength. And place a high value on prayer because it is how we will win by Christ's strength. So let's begin with place a high value on prayer because it is how we draw and depend on Christ's strength. In verse 10 of chapter 6, the Spirit inspires Paul to write, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. I think if there's something that we really need to focus on learning theologically as Christians in our day, it's this language of in the Lord. I fear that many of us don't understand it. I fear that it doesn't play a central role in our understanding of our relationship with God. What in the Lord means is union with Christ. Communion with God, the Holy Trinity. Let me explain how that happens. In the climactic moment of history, God the Father sent God the Son to become a man. In becoming a man, he lived a life we could not live, and he died the death we should have died. And he died that death for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. Having been raised, he ascended to the right hand of God as Lord over all. And the Father, who sent the Son, sends the Spirit. And the Spirit then goes to whom God will to unite them to the living Christ. The Spirit unites us like parts of a body to Jesus Christ so that his life becomes our life, his righteousness becomes our righteousness, his strength, his wisdom now becomes ours. And the Spirit uniting us to the Son brings us back to life, that we might have faith, that we might reach out our hands, empty as they are, to be filled with every good thing that is His. And being united to Christ means we are united to the Father, so that we are united together with and have communion with the Holy Trinity. Now, this language of in the Lord has to do especially with our union with Jesus Christ. And this is 100% by God's grace, by the way. It is not earned. It is not deserved. It is a gift freely given to you who believe. And he says, be strong in the Lord. You see, we are united to him, but we need to make use of what we have. We need to make use of the resources and the virtues and that which is available to us in our union with Him. If we are going to be strong, if we are going to be mighty, if we are going to be courageous, it is going to be out of our union with Christ and making use of what is ours in Christ. And how does that happen? Well, Paul goes on to list a whole bunch of pieces of armor. 6 pieces, in fact. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation, this great picture. And he comes to the 7th thing, but the 7th thing is not a piece of armor. The 7th thing is actually something that makes all of that armor useful. The 7th thing is what? Prayer. Prayer. Because prayer, again, is fundamentally about depending on the one who is fully dependable and who is strong and who is mighty and will make us strong and mighty as we depend on him in prayer. This is how we access the strength that is available to us in our union with Christ. Prayer. And prayer can be and is both general and particular. When we talk about prayer in particular, he says praying at all times. Meaning when you have something good happen, pray, thank God. When you have something bad happen, don't depend on yourself, go to God. Pray about that. When you see your sister or your brother and you know that they have some need, pray for them. Right? And praying at all times, in whatever situation, when you're in the midst of a building project, pray about that building project, right? But it's also broad. And this is really where we see the idea of depending on God in prayer and how prayer is about dependence. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Have you ever been caught off guard with that? Pray without ceasing. Like, does that mean you're supposed to be walking around all the time, be like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Someone walks up to you, they're trying to talk to you, you're like, no, Our Father who art in heaven. And you're like, I can't do that. I'm never going to be able to hold a job. Right? My relationship with my wife isn't going to go very well. She's going to get frustrated with me. You know? Of course, that we all know, like, we've all basically decided that's not what Paul means, right? And it's not what Paul means, right? What does it mean? It means that your entire life is a prayer. There isn't a moment in your life where you are your own. Your entire life is one moment by moment where you are depending upon the one who is dependable, Jesus Christ. And both forms of prayer need to be happening for our building. Young people and older, hear this. We need to be praying particularly for the building. Set aside Monday, maybe. 5 minutes on Monday when you pray for the building. For the building committee. For our neighbors for us to have favor in our neighbors' eyes. Pray for all kinds of things. Just 5 minutes. Or pray every day for 5 minutes. Or take a day to fast during lunch and pray during that time for the building. But even more important than that, as important as that is we need to be praying in the broad sense. God is most pleased not with a people who pray for 5 minutes and depend on God for 5 minutes for the building, but whose lives are characterized by dependence upon Christ for our strength. In this way, we will win because we are opposed. Do you see that? The 2nd item here is prayer. Put a high value on prayer because we will win by Christ's strength. I once knew a guy who said, many people conceive of the Christian life like the song that I heard on the radio the other day. You know, you're going with the squirrels hopping by, you're petting a little bunny, you know, picking an apple. Ah, you know, it's the spiritual life. It's the very easy. Listen, there is paradoxically that going on in a sense, but really the Christian life is like, That's more like the Christian life. Duck, get down! And what's the tendency? The tendency is to be like, okay, I'm strong, I'm smart, let me take on this opposition. And you will get shot directly in your head. Because you don't have the strength or the wisdom to take on this opposition. Spiritual opposition of Satan. He's real. He's real. He's starting clubs at your local elementary school. He's being featured at the Grammys. All right? He's real. And the longer you follow Christ, I promise you, you're going to be like, no, yeah, he's real. And he's opposed to us, and he's opposed to our building project. That's what Paul says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the... He's speaking about the demonic and how they manifest even in institutions in this world. But we're not fighting against people, folks. We love people. We're trying to help people. Well, this isn't a fight against the liberals. This isn't a fight against, you know, some group of people who are starting Satan Club. But we're for them. We love them. We try to love them. It's the evil one who's caught them in a trap. And that's the opposition. And Satan's going to even try to work and infiltrate our church. And the only way we're going to overcome is not by gossiping about people, is not by cutting people down. The only way we're going to win is through prayer. Because it's through prayer that we depend on the strength of Christ. And he says, if we do that, we will stand. And what he means is not like just stand. This word is getting at winning. Who's going to fall? Satan. We will stand, but we'll only stand if we pray. Prayer is what makes us strong, and it's what will make us win. There was a UFC fighter. One day he was fighting this guy, and he went to kick him in the shins, and his shin broke, and his foot looked like Gumby going around the other guy's shin. He went to the hospital. They put a rod, a metal rod, in his shin bone to hold it together. Without that metal rod, every time he would try to stand, he would fall. With that metal rod, every time he tries to stand, now he's going to stand. In fact, they even let him back in the ring, and he won a couple fights, incredibly. He was able to stand, not because of his own strength, but because of the strength of that rod. Christ is our strength. We will fall without him, but in prayer, we will stand. And we will win, and this building project will be successful. It will not be because we had so much money. It will be because we had so much prayer. And this meal that we have, is just another way of teaching us to depend upon Christ. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. Don't allow me to remain outside of you. Take me into yourself, and I will be your sustenance, and I will be your strength." And the same night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for many. Take and drink, all of you. Depend on my life. The blood is the life, as it says in Leviticus. Do not let Christ remain outside of you. Take him in. Come to him with prayer. Receive him even now in this meal."